Chapter 96. The Golden Dustman falls into bad company. Were Bella Wilfer's bright and ready little wits at fault, or was the Golden Dustman passing through the furnace of proof and coming out dross? Ill news travels fast. We shall know full soon. On that very night of her return from the happy return, something chanced which Bella closely followed with her eyes and ears. There was an apartment at the side of the Boffin mansion, known as Mr. Boffin's room. Far less grand than the rest of the house, it was far more comfortable, being pervaded by a certain air of homely snugness, which upholstering despotism had banished to that spot, when it inexorably set its face against Mr. Boffin's appeals for mercy in behalf of any other chamber. Thus, although a room of modest situation for its windows gave on Silas Wegg's old corner, and of no pretensions to velvet, satin, or gilding, it had got itself established in a domestic position analogous to that of an easy dressing gown or pair of slippers. And whenever the family wanted to enjoy a particularly pleasant fireside evening, they enjoyed it, as an institution that must be, in Mr. Boffin's room. Mr. and Mrs. Boffin were reported sitting in this room, when Bella got back. Entering it, she found the secretary there too. In official attendance it would appear, for he was standing with some papers in his hand by a table with shaded candles on it, at which Mr. Boffin was seated thrown back in his easy chair. "You are busy, sir," apostrophe said Bella, hesitating at the door. "Not at all, my dear, not at all. You're one of ourselves. We never make company of you. Come in, come in. Here's the old lady in her usual place." Apostrophe, Mrs. Boffin adding her nod and smile of welcome to Mr. Boffin's words, Bella took her book to a chair in the fireside corner by Mrs. Boffin's work table. Mr. Boffin's station was on the opposite side. "Now, Rokesmith," apostrophe said the Golden Dustman, so sharply rapping the table, to bespeak his attention as Bella turned the leaves of her book, that she started. "Where were we?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, you were saying, sir," apostrophe returned the secretary, with an air of some reluctance, and a glance towards those others who were present, "that you considered the time had come for fixing my salary." "Apostrophe, don't be above calling it wages, man," apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, testily. "What the deuce? I never talked of any salary when I was in service." "Apostrophe, my wages," apostrophe said the secretary, correcting himself. "Rokesmith, you are not proud, I hope?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," observed Mr. Boffin, eyeing him askance. "I hope not, sir." "Apostrophe, because I never was, when I was poor," apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. "Poverty and pride don't go at all well together. Mind that. How can they go well together? Why, it stands to reason. A man, being poor, has nothing to be proud of. It's nonsense." Apostrophe, with a slight inclination of his head, and a look of some surprise, the secretary seemed to assent, by forming the syllables of the word nonsense on his lips. "Now, concerning these same wages," apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. "Sit down." Apostrophe, the secretary sat down. "Why didn't you sit down before?" Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Mr. Boffin, distrustfully. "I hope that wasn't pride? But about these wages. Now, I've gone into the matter, and I say 200 a year. What do you think of it? Do you think it's enough?" Apostrophe, "thank you. It is a fair proposal." Apostrophe, "I don't say, you know," apostrophe Mr. Boffin stipulated, "but what it may be more than enough. And I'll tell you why, Rokesmith. A man of property, like me, is bound to consider the market price. At first I didn't enter into that as much as I might have done, but I've got acquainted with other men of property since, and I've got acquainted with the duties of property. I mustn't go putting the market price up, because money may happen not to be an object with me. A sheep is worth so much in the market, and I ought to give it and no more. A secretary is worth so much in the market, and I ought to give it and no more. However, I don't mind stretching a point with you. Apostrophe, Mr. Boffin, you are very good, apostrophe replied the secretary, with an effort. Then we put the figure, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, at 200 a year. Then the figure's disposed of. Now, there must be no misunderstanding regarding what I buy for 200 a year. If I pay for a sheep, I buy it out and out. Similarly, if I pay for a secretary, I buy him out and out. Apostrophe, in other words, you purchase my whole time? Apostrophe, apostrophe, certainly I do. Look here, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, it ain't that I want to occupy your whole time. You can take up a book for a minute or two, when you've nothing better to do, though I think you'll amist always find something useful to do. But I want to keep you in attendance. It's convenient to have you at all times ready on the premises. Therefore, betwixt your breakfast and your supper, on the premises I expect to find you. Apostrophe, the secretary bowed. In bygone days, when I was in service myself, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, I couldn't go cutting about at my will and pleasure, and you won't expect to go cutting about at your will and pleasure. You've rather got into a habit of that, lately, but perhaps it was for want of a right specification betwixt us. Now, let there be a right specification betwixt us, and let it be this. If you want leave, ask for it. Apostrophe, again the secretary bowed. His manner was uneasy and astonished, and showed a sense of humiliation. I'll have a bell, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, hung from this room to yours, and when I want you, I'll touch it. I don't call to mind that I have anything more to say at the present moment. Apostrophe, the secretary rose, gathered up his papers, and withdrew. Bella's eyes followed him to the door, lighted on Mr. Boffin complacently thrown back in his easy chair, and drooped over her book. I have let that chap, that young man of mine, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, taking a trot up and down the room, get above his work. It won't do. I must have him down a peg. A man of property owes a duty to other men of property, and must look sharp after his inferiors. Apostrophe, Bella felt that Mrs. Boffin was not comfortable, and that the eyes of that good creature sought to discover from her face what attention she had given to this discourse, and what impression it had made upon her. For which reason Bella's eyes drooped more engrossedly over her book, and she turned the page with an air of profound absorption in it. Naughty, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, after thoughtfully pausing in her work. My dear, apostrophe returned the Golden Dustman, stopping short in his trot. Excuse my putting it to you, Naughty, but now really, haven't you been a little strict with Mr. Oaksmith tonight? Haven't you been a little, just a little not quite like your old self? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, old woman, I hope so, apostrophe returned Mr. Boffin, cheerfully, if not boastfully. Hope so, dearie? Apostrophe, apostrophe, our old selves wouldn't do here, old lady. Haven't you found that out yet? Our old selves would be fit for nothing here, but to be robbed and imposed upon. Our old selves weren't people of fortune, our new selves are. It's a great difference. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, pausing in her work again, softly to draw a long breath, and to look at the fire. A great difference. Apostrophe, and we must be up to the difference. Apostrophe pursued her husband. We must be equal to the change. That's what we must be. We've got to hold our own now, against everybody, for everybody's hand is stretched out to be dipped into our pockets, and we have got to recollect that money makes money, as well as makes everything else. Apostrophe, mentioning recollecting, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, with her work abandoned, her eyes upon the fire, and her chin upon her hand, do you recollect, Naughty, how you said to Mr. Oaksmith, when he first came to see us at the bower, and you engaged him, how you said to him that, if it had pleased heaven, to send John Harmon to his fortune safe, we could have been content with the 1 mound which was our legacy, and should never have wanted the rest? apostrophe apostrophe A, I remember, old lady. But we hadn't tried what it was to have the rest then. Our new shoes had come home, but we hadn't put them on. We're wearing them now, we're wearing them, and must step out accordingly. Apostrophe, Mrs. Boffin took up her work again, and plied her needle in silence. As to Rokesmith, that young man of mine, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, dropping his voice and glancing towards the door with an apprehension of being overheard by some eavesdropper there, it's the same with him, as with the footman. I have found out that you must either scrunch them, or let them scrunch you. If you ain't imperious with them, they won't believe in your being any better than themselves, if as good, after the story's lies, mostly, that they have heard of your beginnings. There's nothing betwixt stiffening yourself up, and throwing yourself away, take my word for that, old lady. Apostrophe, Bella ventured for a moment to look stealthily towards him under her eyelashes, and she saw a dark cloud of suspicion, covetousness, and conceit, overshadowing the once open face. Hosever, apostrophe said he, this isn't entertaining to Miss Bella. Is it, Bella? Apostrophe apostrophe, a deceiving Bella she was, to look at him with that pensively abstracted air, as if her mind were full of her book, and she had not heard a single word. Ha! Better employed than to attend to it, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. That's right, especially as you have no call to be told how to value yourself, my dear. Apostrophe, coloring a little under this compliment, Bella returned, I hope, sir, you don't think me vain? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a bit, my dear, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. But I think it's very creditable in you, at your age, to be so well up with the pace of the world, and to know what to go in for. You are right. Go in for money, my love. Money's the article. You'll make money of your good looks, and of the money Mrs. Boffin and me will have the pleasure of settling upon you, and you'll live and die rich. That's the state to live and die in. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, in an unctuous manner. Are rich. Apostrophe apostrophe, there was an expression of distress in Mrs. Boffin's face, as, after watching her husband's, she turned to their adopted girl, and said, Don't mind him, Bella, my dear. Apostrophe, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe, cried Mr. Boffin. What? Not mind him? Apostrophe, I don't mean that, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, with a worried look, but I mean, don't believe him to be anything but good and generous, Bella, because he is the best of men. No, I must say that much, Noddy. You are always the best of men. Apostrophe, she made the declaration, as if he were objecting to it. Which assuredly he was not in any way. And as to you, my dear Bella, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, still with that distressed expression, he is so much attached to you, whatever he says, that your own father has not a truer interest in you, and can hardly like you better than he does. Apostrophe, says to. Apostrophe apostrophe, cried Mr. Boffin. Whatever he says. Why, I say so, openly. Give me a kiss, my dear child, in saying good night, and let me confirm what my old lady tells you. I am very fond of you, my dear, and I am entirely of your mind, and you and I will take care that you shall be rich. These good looks of yours, which you have some right to be vain of, my dear, though you are not, you know, are worth money, and you shall make money of them. The money you will have will be worth money, and you shall make money of that too. There's a golden ball at your feet. Good night, my dear. Apostrophe, somehow, Bella was not so well pleased with this assurance, and this prospect as she might have been. Somehow, when she put her arms round Mrs. Boffin's neck and said good night, she derived a sense of unworthiness from the still anxious face of that good woman, and her obvious wish to excuse her husband. Why, what need to excuse him? Apostrophe apostrophe, thought Bella, sitting down in her own room. What he said was very sensible, I am sure, and very true, I am sure. It is only what I often say to myself. Don't I like it then? No, I don't like it, and, though he is my liberal benefactor, I disparage him for it. Then pray, apostrophe said Bella, sternly putting the question to herself in the looking glass as usual, what do you mean by this, you inconsistent little beast? Apostrophe apostrophe the looking glass preserving a discreet ministerial silence, when thus called upon for explanation. Bella went to bed with a weariness upon her spirit which was more than the weariness of want of sleep. And again in the morning, she looked for the cloud, and for the deepening of the cloud, upon the golden dustman's face. She had begun by this time to be his frequent companion in his morning strolls about the streets, and it was at this time that he made her a party to his engaging in a curious pursuit. Having been hard at work in one dull enclosure all his life, he had a child's delight in looking at shops. It had been one of the first novelties and pleasures of his freedom, and was equally the delight of his wife. For many years their only walks in London had been taken on Sundays, when the shops were shut, and when every day in the week became their holiday, they derived an enjoyment from the variety and fancy and beauty of the display in the windows, which seemed incapable of exhaustion. As if the principal streets were a great theater, and the play were childishly new to them, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, from the beginning of Bella's intimacy in their house, had been constantly in the front row, charmed with all they saw and applauding vigorously. But now, Mr. Boffin's interest began to center in bookshops, and more than that, for that of itself would not have been much in one exceptional kind of book. Look in here, my dear, apostrophe Mr. Boffin would say, checking Bella's arm at a bookseller's window. You can read at sight, and your eyes are as sharp as they're bright. Now, look well about you, my dear, and tell me, if you see any book about a miser. Apostrophe, if Bella saw such a book, Mr. Boffin would instantly dart in and buy it. And still, as if they had not found it, they would seek out another bookshop, and Mr. Boffin would say, now, look well all round, my dear, for a life of a miser, or any book of that sort, any lives of odd characters who may have been misers. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.